We're on the record. Good afternoon. My name is Jennifer Amiad, and I'm a hearings officer. It is December 11th, 2018, at approximately 2:10 p.m. We have two hearings scheduled for this time. I'm going to go in the order of my list, which has Anne Marie Hailika. Is that?
That's close enough. Hailika.
Hailika. I'm sorry. I'll try to remember to pronounce that correctly. I'm going to have you go first. This is case number 1180258. If you could come here and sit in this chair and speak into the microphone when I'm usually here. Yeah. Great, thank you.
Hey there.
Hi, thanks for being here today. Are you, either of you here for this case?
So the officer, if I'm correct, I don't have to see our paperwork. I think it's Polly. This is his,
his
day off.
Okay.
Just the paperwork that he submitted is for the record.
Okay.
However, I would like to speak.
Okay, about this case or about the other case?
In general, it applies to all the cases.
Okay, great.
It applies to every case you're going to hear regards to the police speak.
Okay, great. So we've got a representative from the city here. If you wouldn't mind taking a seat, and if you could tell me your name and spell it for the record, that would be great.
My name is Donald Hunter.
Donald Hunter?
Yes.
Great. And can you tell me your title, please?
I'm a parking enforcement supervisor.
Okay. Great. We've got a few administrative things to take care of before we get to the nuts and bolts of the appeal. So you received a packet of information from us in the mail, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
A couple pages.
Yeah. Okay. Is the address that we used the best address for us to use moving forward to send you mail?
Yes.
Okay. My decision will be in writing, and we'll mail that to you. You keep an eye out for it over the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
We'll use that address. And in that packet was a statement of rights. Do you remember reading that statement?
Yes, I do.
Great. Do you have any questions about your rights?
No.
Okay. Great. I know that you just picked up a packet from the window, and you had a few minutes to look over the documents submitted by the city. Do you have any concerns that any of the documents were included by mistake and aren't relevant to your case?
No. They all looked appropriate.
Great. I'm going to admit exhibits 1 through 8 into the record then. Did you bring any other exhibits with you today?
No.
Okay, great. I would like to let you know that this hearing is being recorded. Our usual practice is to post the recording online so you're able to listen to it if you want to. The drawback of that is that other people could potentially listen to it as well, so we give folks the option of opting out if they want to. Would you like to have it posted online, or would you prefer to opt out?
Doesn't matter either way. If it's less work, you don't have to, but I don't care either way.
Okay, the usual practice is to post it. I think it's sometimes helpful for people, so we'll go ahead and post it online. I'd like to take a few minutes now to explain how these hearings work. I'm a hearings officer, not a judge, and this is a hearing, not a court. We're a little less formal. Unfortunately, though, I have less discretion than a judge. My job is to look at the evidence presented on both sides, and if the evidence shows that the person who ordered the tow of your vehicle followed all of the relevant laws and rules, I'm required to find that the tow was valid, even if perhaps the tow wasn't fair, or if the person whose vehicle was towed can't afford to pay the fee. I don't have the discretion to lessen it. It's kind of an all or none situation. Either it's valid and you have to pay, or it's invalid and you don't. I don't get to look at fairness, unfortunately. Another administrative piece that's important for you to know is that if you were also issued a citation for parking illegally, that can be appealed at the circuit court. There are two separate processes. We're just dealing with the tow here. Great. With all that said, could you please raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide will be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay, great. And I'll go ahead and swear you in as well. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide will be the truth?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'll let you go first. Could you please tell me why you believe that the parking officer who ordered the tow of your vehicle didn't follow all of the relevant laws and rules?
Yeah. And so maybe it's worth saying, I don't think that they didn't follow the rules, which you said, but I didn't receive appropriate notice because I was out of town. So there was no way for me to know that my car needed to be moved that morning.
Okay. Great. Is there anything else you'd like for me to know?
Maybe the dates are helpful. The 20th through the 26th of November is when I was out, and I returned that morning around 10 a.m. on the 26th.
That is helpful, because it looks like the no parking sign was installed on the 23rd of November, and it was verified on the 25th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there any testimony that you'd like to provide?
Yes. I just like to give some history of the Clean Sweep program.
Okay.
So my name is Donald Hunter. I'm a parking enforcement supervisor. I've been in the parking enforcement division for 27 years. And I've been in management for the last 14 years. So just gonna give you a history of the layout. This is not about you, okay?
I'm listening.
So in May of 1993, the Northwest Neighborhood Association came to the city of Portland because of concerns from residents, how can we have our streets clean? Northwest Portland is high density parking. Parking don't move that often. When the leaves fall down, they clog up during the winter. Northwest Portland didn't get clean. So with maintenance, parking enforcement, and the Neighborhood Association, we started the Clean Sweep program. A few years later, in the mid-90s, Goose Hollow, which is in Southwest Portland, said, hey, we want our streets cleaned the same way. Several years ago, Solomon Gulch in Northeast Portland asked to be a part of it too. So for 25 years, this Clean Sweep program has been in place. We have used the exact same procedure with the verification for 25 years in a row. This time of year, for November, in the November and December, the sweeps happen every year for the last 25 years. And so the process that they put in place for the neighborhood, so the Clean Sweep program is at the request of these three neighborhood associations. And the procedure that we put in place is to mail out a courtesy notice to every resident in the Clean Sweep program. And this is just a sample, and it's mailed out. It talks about when it's gonna happen and do not get towed. These were mailed out in October. So a month and a half, well in advance of the sweeps, to give the community members an opportunity to figure out what they can do that day. Besides the courtesy notice flyer mailed out, 3 or 4 days before the sweeps, there is a press release. The press release go to the press media, print media, radio media, TV media. And this is sent out. It talks about the sweeps, and all the news stations will cover it. A few days before the sweeps start, PBOT sends a post on Nextdoor, which is a social network for neighborhoods, about the towing. And then finally, they send out emails to about 1,200 people in the sweep area that are on the PBOT's email list, providing them about the sweep. The procedure, in order, now these are all courtesies. The flyer talking about sweeps is a courtesy. The press release is a courtesy. And network is all courtesy. And the reason why I say this is a courtesy is that Title 16 does not require any notification to anyone other than if it, the code says, If the temporary no parking signs go up 24 hours after verification, it is enforceable. And that is city code, and that's the code has been in that way in the books for about 40 years. If a temporary sign go out. However, the city, you know, representing the public, we went through all these steps with the courtesy notice. And so all of these courtesy notices have been going on for years, 25 years, to mail out the media and the social part of it. If the sweep is on a Monday, on a Wednesday, the barricades, if a sweep is on a Wednesday, the barricades go up on a Monday, actually 48 hours in advance, because we want to give the community members a chance to see what they're going to do for that brief 2 or 3 hours in that morning. If the barricade signs go up on a Friday, if the sweep is on a Monday, the barricades go up on a Friday. We verify on a Friday. However, since they went up on a Friday, and we have the weekend, we do a re-verification at 5 o'clock in the morning, Sunday morning, so that we can be well in advance of the 25th. So the Monday sweep signs get verified twice. And so the temporary barricades go up, and they're in all the, I mean, there's hundreds and thousands, I don't know how many barricades, there's a lot of them in all directions. These three neighborhoods, we just clinked Monday, Wednesday, Friday for 2 weeks. We swept 1,190 block faces in high density park neighborhoods where vehicles do not move. And those block faces, there's anywhere from 8 to 10 vehicles on each block face. And we estimated there's anywhere from 10,000 to 11,000 vehicles for these three neighborhoods that we're gonna sweep that need to, for vehicles that need to be moved. The history, past history, and then also with the last sweep, with this past sweep that just happened, let's just, I said 10,000, 11,000, let's just round it off at 10,000. 96.7% of all vehicles, owners' vehicles, complied and moved. That's 9,700 and for whatever reason, it happens year after year. It's just that small 2 to 3% that for whatever reason, they end up getting caught up into the sweep. But 90 almost 97% of people's comply and move with all the notification we give. And so I just wanted to come here and present that so that we can have an understanding of what the Clean Sweep program is all about. It's because of the neighborhood association want their streets clean like the rest of the city. Great. That's what I wanted to offer.
Thank you. I'm really glad that you were here. I appreciate your explanation. I do have a question for you since mm-hmm. you're here. Based on Chapter 16.30 of the code, I think that in this case and in a lot of other cases, the tows would have been valid if they had been cited under 16.30.220. It looks like the verification was authorized, the barricades were clear and conspicuous. But in a lot of the cases that we've seen, the parking enforcement officer has instead cited to 16.10.050.
Which is code compliance, and code compliance means any code within Title 16 can fall under code compliance. You have to follow the code. So you may have a part of the code that may talk about a person needing to move their vehicle every 24 hours. That's what gives us the authority to tow for other sections of Title 16. So if the if we tow for temporary no parking, which falls on the code compliance, that's because it didn't comply with other parts of Title 16. And so they said they support one another.
Well, the concern that I have about 16.10.050 is that the way that it reads, and it says it is unlawful for the operator of a vehicle to disobey the instructions of a traffic control device placed in accordance with the provisions of this title. And I agree that the barricades were absolutely placed in accordance with the title, but I'm concerned about the word disobey. And if the operator of a vehicle parked prior to the placement of the traffic control device, I don't know that they can disobey the...
Where I would, my comment on that is the code says you can't leave your vehicle parked in this right of way for 24 hours. Every citizen in Portland, now we know that the city, we don't go around and force you every 24 hours to move every single vehicle. And we used to enforce that way. In 1998, the city council changed the 24-hour rule, parts of it, in an effort to encourage other people to take other modes of transportation, like ride a bike, take the bus, carpool, a car share. And so the 24-hour rule at that time in 1998 was changed because of that. But the 24-hour rule is still in place. A citizen has to check on the condition of the streets could change at any given time. And so the code says 24 hours. That's why the code reads where it talks about the where it talks about temporary parking on streets may be enforced 24 hours after placement of any any temporary no parking. You can enforce 24 hours is because of the 24-hour rule. The 24-hour rule that we tow under tow compliance would fall into like I said, one part of Title 16 support the other part. And so I don't think, I understand what you're saying, but I don't think that there's not a municipality in the entire country that would operate like you wouldn't be able to get the needs of the people done. Just like to clean all these neighborhoods, 10,000 vehicles, that means we would have to run DMV registration on every single car, knock on doors, by the way, can you move your car out of the public right away so we can clean the streets? There's no city operates like that. That's why the code says any time after 24 hours after temporary notice signs, if a contractor comes along onto your neighborhood street and they need to do some work, they'll put up temporary barricades if there's cars parked there. 24 hours after those signs go up, they can't be enforced. And that's the way the city of Portland and Parking Enforcement has enforced that code for 40 or 50 years. If the sign goes up 24 hours, if the water bureau need to dig up the street, or Northwest Natural Gas need to dig up the street, they put up temporary no parking signs. 24 hours after those signs go up, we can enforce and tow. We don't have to track down every single owner in order for the Water Bureau of the Work, Northwest Natural Gas, or any other person that need to do a job or a project in the street. That I hope I was clear there. But again, this is...
I think it's a great program, and I'm glad you're cleaning our streets. Just not the Monday after a holiday.
Okay. Any other questions?
I really want to go back and study all three chapters of the code, 1610, 1620, and 1630. Do you ever cite for temporary parking violations under 1620 or 1630, or are they always cited under 1610?
For temporary no parking, 1610 is co-compliance. Not co-compliance means you're not compliant with the code the way it reads.
Right. Do you ever cite to the specific provisions of the code that are violated?
There are some, but not all. I mean, there's some for overtime and some for meters, fire hydrant. But our authority to tow is, like I said, parts of Title 16 are there for provisions of other parts of Title 16. And co-compliance mean we're talking about all of Title 16 code. If you didn't follow any of it, if we, I believe, and I think I'm correct, co-compliance, any violation could fall under co-compliance. Title 16 is huge, which you know. Mm-hmm. Anything in Title 16, if someone don't comply, is subject to be cited under that. But that's why temporary no parking falls under that, even though it's not the one that actually talks about the 24-hour mm-hmm. part of it.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Do you have anything else you'd like to add, either party?
No.
I don't. No.
Okay, great. I'm going to consider this. I'm not going to issue a decision right now. I will issue a decision in writing, and it will come to you in the mail within the next 2 weeks. If I do decide that the tow is invalid, there'll be instructions for you to submit your receipts to have them reimbursed to you. If I find that the tow was valid, you have the right to appeal that decision to the Multnomah County Circuit Court through a process known as writ of review.
Okay.
I think there's a statement with instructions about that too. Great. Thank you. This hearing is now closed.